This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
But we will pause here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins that He tells us that you are always and forever have been selected to be part of the best of nations. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention some responsibilities behind that. So let's begin. This ayah, you have probably heard Muslims over the years will quote this ayah and say, we are the best ummah. Because Allah says that He had selected us to be part of the best ummah. So no matter what our state is, we are still the best of all nations. That's not exactly what the verse is teaching us. And if you know basic Arabic, you'll understand immediately there is a lot more to this verse than what we think. Allah begins and He says, "Kuntum khayra ummah." You were from amongst the best of nations. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ مَا قَالَ خَرَجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah says that He أُخْرِجَتْ. أُخْرِجَتْ means that Allah selected you and me. So there was a creation, and from that creation, Allah selected and chose certain individuals and allowed them to be part of this ummah. Do you see how different the ayah is? Now, instead of that sense of honor and pride to be Muslim and to be part of this ummah, it's completely different now. Now, I am so grateful that Allah made me Muslim and made me part of this ummah. I am so honored to be part of this ummah. Why? Because Allah says, I selected you. The ulama tell us, perhaps one of the reasons is Allah sees in every single member of this ummah something in you. Allah created us with things within us that qualified us to be here. That immediately tells us we are special. You are special. The people part of this ummah, there is something beautiful and special about them. And subhanAllah, especially with a lot of young people, they need to be reminded of that from time to time. Because when you look at the ummah from the outside, it's almost quite difficult or even impossible for some to find anything attractive about this ummah. Because think about how we're portrayed on the media. Think about how we're talked about on social media. Think about any movie or TV show that you've watched and who the bad guys are. It's almost impossible to see that in the midst of all of this, we're still the best ummah. We are still the chosen ones. Well, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us. After a set of verses in the same surah, if you go back two or three verses, you know what you're going to read about? You're going to read about verses that talk about the importance of the iman. You're going to see verses about taqwa. One of them we just recited. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. That verse comes a few verses before this one. Then you also read a verse that Allah tells us, wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. Hold on to the rope of Allah, all of you. Mean come collectively together under one path, one cause. And don't differ or divide amongst yourselves. So you read all of these verses about the importance of faith, the importance of having consciousness with Allah, the importance of brotherhood, and then you get to this verse. I have selected you to be a member of this ummah. Now put it all together. Why me? Why you? What is it that Allah wants from us or expects from us that qualifies us to be part of this nation, part of this ummah? The next point. Understand what ummah is. A lot of times you hear that ummah means my nation or a nation. What that means is ummah is defined in the Arabic language as a group of people or a nation that come together under one cause, one purpose. Our one cause and our one purpose is to serve our Creator, to live our lives in this world worshiping one and one only. And to add to that, how do we worship this one Creator? What is it that we do? What are the things that we say? How do we live our life? You go now to the sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, the sunnah is not a set of rules. If you treat the sunnah as just a set of rules, then it's very easy for people to argue with you and say, look, some of these guidelines that you have, they're almost impossible to practice. It's as if Allah is setting you up, that if you break a rule, haha, I caught you. Now you're going to be punished. That's not what the sunnah is. The sunnah is a lifestyle. And its goal is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to catch us under His mercy. The goal of the sunnah is that every time you practice and you try your best to implement something from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where does that lead you? Where does that put you? Under the mercy and acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal keep us close to the sunnah. Allahumma ameen. So kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Here's the next point. Ukhrijat, we now understand. It's not kharajat, it's ukhrijat, which means to select. Then Allah tells you, linnas. Arabic students, the lam that's attached to the word nas. This lam, what it means in this ayah is the purpose for. In other words, you and I have been selected by Allah to be part of this ummah for the purpose of serving the people. Linnas. Our priority after we have established our faith with Allah is to look out for each other, is to serve mankind. Every day you wake up thinking about what else I can do to serve mankind. Now, we have to understand what this looks like. And I could sit here and tell you a lot of different things and different styles, but let's just stick to the ayah. The ayah is going to explain what that means, what it means to serve mankind. What does that entail? Continue reading. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah then says that you are people that go out there and you encourage as much good and ma'roof as possible, and you discourage as much evil and wrong as possible. Now I use these words very carefully, because most of the times we have seen translations that say this: command good, forbid evil. Isn't that what we read a lot? And that's not exactly the most accurate translation. Let me tell you why. If you translate ta'muruna bil ma'ruf as commanding good, it restricts the reader to only one style or way of teaching and sharing good with mankind. Because you're literally saying, it gives the impression, I have to go out there and I have to stand up and speak as much good as I can. If I see wrong, I've got to go and step up to that wrong and command as much good. Stand up and have these conversations. And the reality is, not all of us can do that. You know, when you see something wrong, to stand up and say something, not all of us have that ability to do that. That requires a certain amount of courage, a certain amount of knowledge and experience dealing with people. Not everyone has that. There are people who are terrified to have these conversations, whether it be at work or school. They're terrified. Even though they might have the knowledge, they just don't know how to eloquently express their beliefs. So the ayah, a better way to understand the intent of the ayah, ta'murun, comes from the word amaru or amara, amrun, which means not only to command, but anything that encourages that. So even our actions, the way that we behave, the choices that we make out there, even all of that without saying or verbalizing a word is all part of ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. Now here's the second point about this sentence. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. It's the word ma'ruf. Again, we hear this word throughout the Quran. What is ma'ruf? Remember this, brothers and sisters. It will make your life so much easier when you're out there, inshallah ta'ala. Ma'ruf. Think of it as a universal standard. Think of it what is known, what is understood, and it fits within the parameters of Islam. What is known and understood to be good, to be the right thing, that's called ma'ruf. Even if it's not specifically outlined and spelled out for you and me, ma'ruf, you know, just common sense tell you this is the right thing to do. You don't need somebody to tell you, hey, don't be a racist. Don't hate against a particular religion just because you're not from. You don't need somebody to exactly say that to you. Common sense, and it's understood that we respect people regardless of their race, regardless of their background, regardless of their religion. There is an element of respect. That's ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. Now put it together. This part of the ayah is life-changing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us the number one reason why I had selected you and you and you and you and me and all of us to be part of this ummah is because you have in you what it takes to encourage people out there to do the right thing. What an honor. I pray Allah Azza wa Jal preserve and protect this honor in our hearts and lives. Allahumma ameen. What an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me on this earth, and this is what He wants from me. Why? Because Allah sees it in me. He created within me the tools that I can continue to further this kind of encouragement, this kind of work. May Allah Azza wa Jal give all of us strength. And then the opposite continues. So you have ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, and number two, wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. And you also discourage munkar. Munkar, you may have read translations that say that munkar is quote-unquote evil. It's a little bit more than that. Munkar is anything that is frowned upon, that is despicable, that is wrong, that is evil, unacceptable. It causes hurt and pain to people around you, to yourself. When you hear it, it makes you uncomfortable. And it doesn't make you uncomfortable just because it makes you uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable because it's an uncomfortable thing to be around, to listen to and to hear. That's called munkar. Now your job and my job, the bare minimum, try to discourage this as much as possible. And sometimes that looks like, you know, I got invited but I'm not going to attend because I know there's a lot of munkar that's going to happen. I was invited to the party. I got the invitation, but I know that there's munkar going to be there. So just by you not attending, you are now discouraging this munkar in your ability. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. Let's continue. So you have ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. And the last part of the verse that I want to leave you with, inshaAllah ta'ala, wa tu'minuna billah. And that you always and forever have faith and iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me ask you, does the audience of Surah Ali Imran, which is a Madani surah, which means that Islam has been around for some time, is it safe to say that the audience of Surah Ali Imran already believe in Allah? They already have iman? They already believe in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So why remind the people, make sure you believe in Allah? And the ayah is in present tense. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. It's not in the past tense. Allah is not commanding you to think about it later on. This is the present tense. Allah is literally saying, continue to have faith in Allah. Why? This is the challenge that all of us live to struggle with. This is the challenge. It's to hold on to our faith. It's when you're out there in the world and you're in the schools and in the workplaces and the invitations and the gatherings and so on and so forth. It's when you're out there to hold on to your deen, to hold on to the values that you know, that you're committed to, the values of our deen. That's the challenge. If you never get an opportunity to encourage good or discourage evil, that's one thing. But Allah put something in your heart and in my heart. And Allah wants us to keep working. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ. Keep addressing and work. Don't take it for granted. Because there have been people in the past and present who one day they believe in Allah and the next day they question that belief. So if you're somebody, and may Allah count all of us from amongst them, somebody who loves this deen, may Allah allow us always and forever to love this deen. If you are somebody that commits yourself to Islam, and you have faith to the point where nobody is going to compromise that faith, may Allah preserve and protect the message of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts and in our lives. And the last point, inshaAllah ta'ala, before we pause for the first part of the khutbah, some may be thinking, now I understand, fine. I've been chosen, Allah sees something in me, I know what I have to do, how do I do it? I know that I have to preserve my iman, how do I do it? because my iman gets tested 24 hours a day. How do I do this? How do I hold on to this deen? And how do I become a member that Allah is pleased with and remain that way always and forever? A couple of points, insha'Allah ta'ala, that we will mention in the second part of the khutbah. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. At this time, brothers and sisters, before I sit, as I'm sitting, I will ask all of you, the brothers in particular, to please move forward as much as you can during this pause, insha'Allah ta'ala. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala, amma ba'd. Once again, brothers and sisters, just so that we can accommodate everyone, inshallah, as best as we can, those of you who might see a space or an opportunity to move forward, please do so, and inshallah, we can accommodate as many as possible, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so finally, brothers and sisters, I only want to share with you two points. How do I maintain this privilege and honor of being selected to be part of this ummah? How do I maintain that? Number one, Quran, Quran, Quran. If you are not reciting, at least reciting some Quran every day of your life, you will never taste the sweetness of this faith. This faith will be filling, but will have no flavor. Quran must be and should be recited every single day of our lives. And I don't mean you've got to pause your day, sit down with the mushaf and start reciting. You could be anywhere, and we all know this. Even if you have a Quran on your phone, an app, you know that it takes literally seconds. Just read something and do it only for the sake of Allah. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ told us that the heart that has nothing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it is a heart kalbaytil kharibi. It is a heart, in Arabic we say kharban. Kharban means something that's been destroyed. It's fallen apart. It's useless. No one cares about it, nobody wants it, nobody finds use for it. That's how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith narrated in a Tirmidhi, describes the heart that does not have Allah's name or Allah's words, i.e. the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength. We continue to recite the Quran. Allahumma ameen. And finally, ayyuhal ahbab, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam one day was walking with a group of companions, and he was carrying a stick in his hand. He came across a tree that looked like it was dying. It was dried up, and a lot of the leaves were falling. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam led his companions to this tree, took his stick, and he would hit the tree until more of the leaves fell. Then he turned to his companions and said, "What you see here, the one who says Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, their sins will fall off of them like the leaves falling off of this tree." This was a lesson for his companions and a reminder for all of us. Why do I share this one particular hadith? You don't have to make this difficult. We don't have to make this complicated. Our religion has truly made every opportunity to seek Allah's blessings incredibly easy. It is mankind and people that made that process difficult. We are the ones that put barriers between that, but the deen itself, the religion itself, the path towards Allah's acceptance, Allah Himself affirmed in the Quran that He didn't put hardship in this deen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us close to Him. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability that every opportunity we have to do the right thing, that we take advantage of it. And that we do it as best as we can and in a manner, in a way that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the words that I leave you with. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayh. Kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله